Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM conference call. Mr. Leonard Lee, please be on call and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning and good evening, everyone. Welcome to ASM Pacific Technology's 2020 third quarter earnings conference call. This is Leonard Lee, ASMPT Senior Manager Investor Relations, and your moderator for today. Before we begin, we would like to encourage you to download the 2020 third quarter earnings release materials, including the Q3 investor presentation from our company's website at www.asmpacific.com. If you're joining us through this live conference call, your lines are in listen-only mode until the Q&A session. The format for today's event will be as follows. First, ASMPT CEO, Mr. Robin Ng, will provide a preamble and an update about our company's business performance. Our CFO, Ms. Patricia Chow, will then summarize the financial performance of ASMPT. Mr. Robin Ng will then share about the outlook and long-term prospects for the company. From time to time during this presentation, you may be prompted to refer to the investor presentation deck. Thereafter, we will open the lines for Q&A. As usual, I would like to remind everyone that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that are subject to significant risks and uncertainties, which can cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in the forward-looking statements. Please refer to the Safe Harbor notice that appears in our investor earnings call presentation. Without further ado, let me now turn the time over to ASMPT CEO, Mr. Robin Ng. Robin, please.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before we proceed with the quarterly results, I hope you and your loved ones are keeping safe and healthy during this time. We are living in a world which has been characterized quite suddenly this year by a pandemic, economic upheavals, and geopolitical tensions. These have profoundly affected everyone. I'm very appreciative of our more than 14,000 employees worldwide who have demonstrated great resilience and character to ensure that we continue serving our customers and steering our business through these uncertain times. I'm privileged to lead this team. Before we dive into our quarterly results in detail, let me briefly give an overview of ASMPT and what we do. ASMPT is a leading global supplier of hardware and software solutions in the manufacturing of semiconductors and electronics. We operate in three business segments: semiconductor solutions, where we are number one in the global assembly and packaging equipment market; materials, or the lithium business, where we are strong number three in a very fragmented market; SMT, or surface mount technology solutions, where we are a strong global number two. And our geographical presence spans 11 R&D centers and 12 manufacturing facilities worldwide in Asia, Europe, and America, with more than 2,000 R&D staff and more than 1,400 patents on leading-edge technologies in our fields of endeavor. ASMPT has a broad array of core capabilities serving its many customers. For example, if you refer to Slide 6 of our IR deck, we have developed a highly comprehensive suite of semiconductor packaging and assembly and surface mount technology solutions, from wafer deposition handling, the delicate silicon that forms the foundation of every computer chip, to the various solutions that organize, assemble, package, and prepare these chips into a wide range of end-user devices. Globally, our solution suite for the CIS and LED markets is also the most comprehensive for these solutions. ASMPT technologies enable many iconic and ubiquitous devices. On Slide 8, we demonstrate the exceptional breadth of one of our core capabilities, which is our advanced packaging solutions. ASMPT's advanced packaging technology helped with the creation of the vital components that power end applications ranging from data centers, cloud computing, AI, the many electronic systems in modern cars, graphic processing units for virtual reality, and augmented reality devices, and the complex components making up a host of smart wearable devices. The ubiquity of our core capabilities can also be demonstrated by Slide 9. This graphic shows that a typical smartphone can contain components enabled by no less than six of our product lines, from the mainstream die and wire bonders that electrically connect silicon chips, the CMOS image sensors and LED components that form the cameras and displays, to the various packaging solutions that we have intricately create, combine and connect the many modules and systems that serve various device functions. These include our SMT, system in package, and advanced packaging solution, each of which is one of the leading players in its respective market. To put it simply, ASMPT solutions help to enable the digital world in areas ranging from mobility and IT, optoelectronics that provide displays from tiny to massive sizes, security and data centers, automotive technology, power management and energy, industrial applications and consumer devices. So let me now go ahead and give you a review of our third quarter of year 2020. Despite this recessionary phase of the global economy, we delivered third quarter revenue of 4.27 billion Hong Kong dollars or 551 million US dollars, close to the top end of the revenue guidance provided previously of between 480 to 560 million US dollars issued in our second quarter results announcement. The group's consolidated profit after taxation for the quarter was 233.9 million Hong Kong dollars, 5.2% higher than that of the third quarter of last year. Our revenue also increased 4.7% year-on-year to 11.97 billion Hong Kong dollars for the first 9 months of 2020. Let me provide some color to these promising numbers. I'll start with bookings. The group ended the first 9 months of 2020 with a strong backlog of 6.55 billion Hong Kong dollars and a book-to-bill ratio of 1.12. Third quarter group bookings increased 12.4% year-on-year and 23.5% quarter-on-quarter to hit 4.52 billion Hong Kong dollars. This went against a common pattern of third quarter bookings normally coming in below second quarter bookings. This growth was primarily driven by strong booking growth in both the semiconductor solutions and SMT solution segments. There were several factors driving this strong bookings growth. For one, we saw increasing 5G infrastructure deployment and device upgrades. This drove an increase in silicon content, leading to strong capacity and technology buys that benefited not only the mainstream die and wire bonder businesses, but also our advanced packaging and system-in-package solutions. We also benefited quite significantly from the rising adoption of digitalization and the radical shift to work-from-home arrangements that have happened this year. This drove demand for personal computing and connectivity devices and strong demand for high-performance computing. In fact, the strength in HPC growth contributed to our advanced packaging solutions revenue for the first 9 months of 2020, hitting a record high and equaling our advanced packaging solution revenue for the whole of 2019. Last but not least, ongoing global trade tension facilitated increased localized production efforts for domestic China-based companies, which contribute to our China business recording a year-on-year revenue increase for the first 9 months of 2020. Segment performance. Let me now give some color to our respective business segments, starting with semiconductor solutions. This segment experienced broad-based demand with good year-on-year growth in the third quarter bookings and revenue. Growth was strong for its mainstream die and wire bonders, in particular highlighting capacity expansion amidst gradually improving market conditions. We see three key drivers fueling this performance. First, the IC discrete business unit was perfectly positioned to capture demand from the accelerating work-from-home trends, strong demand for mobile and personal computing devices, and HPC was also critical to the growth of this unit. Second, our optoelectronic business has not only seen continued demand from general lighting and conventional display applications, but also tapped into the growing opportunities in mini LED and micro LED applications. As a matter of fact, the group was engaging with leading customers in the Asia since 2017 who have begun high-volume manufacturing using our tools for mini-LED applications. They are also in the final stage of qualification for our micro-LED solution. This places us in one of the most prominent markets for the future and opens up huge opportunities for our optoelectronics business segment. Thirdly, while our CIS business has remained relatively weak as part of a wider slowdown in the global smartphone shipments for 2020, according to IDC, this business also showcased an encouraging signal as it recorded a strong quarter-to-quarter booking growth in Q3 2020 relative to the low base of Q2 2020. Moving on to our materials segment, we achieved a revenue of 602.6 million Hong Kong dollars. This was a record in US dollar terms of about 77.8 million US dollars, to be specific. This revenue result represented year-on-year growth of 22.4%. If you recall, at our second quarter earnings announcement in July, we stated that we have reached an agreement to form a strategic joint venture involving a material business with key partners. We are on track to close the transaction as planned by the end of this year. The material segment will then operate as a standalone business under the joint venture structure, tapping on partners' deep and complementary network and market experience to help improve the material segment's prominent position in the lithium market. The financial of this joint venture will then be equity accounted for by ASMPT once the transaction closes. We will continue holding a significant minority equity interest of 44.44% in the joint venture. Lastly, looking at our SMT solution segment, we witnessed a promising 37.3% increase in this segment's quarter-on-quarter bookings, which bucked the historical trend of third quarter bookings tending to come in below second quarter bookings. Apart from 5G related applications, smartphones and wearables acting as key market drivers, we also experienced an improvement in automotive and industrial market bookings, albeit still at a relatively low level compared to previous years. This is an encouraging sign for the future. In conclusion, the third quarter of 2020 delivered revenue towards the top end of our guidance amidst an economic downturn, highlighting an ongoing and efficient management of our business. It was also characterized by a good uptick in bookings quarter on quarter, especially for our semiconductor solutions and SMT solutions segment. Lastly, we also experienced some encouraging progress in our key markets, for example, CIS, automotive, and industrial bookings. Now, I will pass the time to Patricia to run through the financials for the third quarter of 2020.
Thank you, Robin. Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you all with us on the call today. As Robin has already given a good business overview of the company, let me dive straightly into the financials for the third quarter. Despite serious challenges posed by the pandemic and the global economic uncertainty, it's my pleasure to inform you that the group has been able to deliver a commendable performance with a resilient set of results. Our revenue increased year-on-year for Q3 and also for the first 9 months of 2020. Robin already explained in details the sales growth. Let me give you a little bit more color on the geographic breakdown. During the first 9 months of 2020, China, inclusive of Hong Kong, Europe, Taiwan, the Americas, and Malaysia were the top five geographic markets of the group. Our top five customers accounted for only 15.5% of our revenue. This highlights the consistent and healthy diversity in our geographic and customer mix. As mentioned by Robin, bookings growth was a noteworthy aspect of our performance this quarter. Our third quarter bookings performance was the second highest we have ever recorded for Q3 bookings. With regard to our gross margins, we saw a marginal year-on-year decline of 87 bps to 33.9% for the first 9 months of 2020, and a year-on-year decline of 182 bps to 32.9% for this quarter. Weaker gross margins from our semiconductor solutions and the SMT solution segments were partially offset by higher year-on-year margins from our materials segment. The Q-on-Q gross margin decline was mainly due to the underutilization caused by our action taken to reduce the inventory. We have continued to focus on cost reduction efforts to streamline operations and improve overall profitability. Despite the lower gross margins, the group's net profit increased 5.2% year-on-year to 223.9 million Hong Kong dollars for Q3 2020, and a significant 56% year-on-year increase to 624.7 million Hong Kong dollars for the first 9 months of 2020. This performance was attributable to higher revenue numbers, coupled with tighter cost controls and government grants received to mitigate the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. The effective tax rate for 9 months of 2020 was 24.6%. Taking into account transfer pricing regulations in various jurisdictions. Overall, our EPS for the quarter was 57 Hong Kong cents, representing an increase of 3.6% compared with that of the third quarter of 2019, which was 55 Hong Kong cents. Despite the recessionary environment, our consistent commitment to research and development continues to hold, and this has helped make us a preferred partner of choice. Our average R&D expense has been about 10% of the equipment sales for many years. For the first 9 months of 2020, our R&D spending was at 155 million US dollars, or 11.6% of equipment sales. Now, let's take a look at the revenue contribution by business segments. Our Semiconductor Solutions segment revenue increased 5% year-on-year to 1.91 billion Hong Kong dollars this quarter. This was primarily driven by a strong growth in the IC discrete business unit, which benefited from continued demand from general lighting and conventional display applications for the optoelectronics unit, and increased the personal computing and data connectivity requirements because of the increase in work-from-home arrangements. However, the segment experienced a third quarter year-on-year decline in gross margin of 348 bps to 40% due to the relative weakness of the CIS product market, which has nevertheless showing some promising signs on the back of an uptick in bookings growth. Looking to the material segment, as Robin mentioned, this business achieved a record high quarterly revenue in U.S. dollars term of 77.8 million U.S. dollars. Gross margin also improved year-on-year by 907 bps to 19.4%, anchored by higher volume effects and discontinuation of our loss-making MIS business in early 2020. Gross profit and segment profit were also at record highs. Lastly, our SMT solution segment quarter-on-quarter revenue increased 10.6% to 1.75 billion Hong Kong dollars and recorded a decline in year-on-year gross margin of 277 bps to 29.9% due to the reduction in revenue contribution from the automotive and industrial application markets and weaker revenue from Europe and Americas. In these times of uncertainty, a healthy balance sheet can act as a great pillar of support. As at the end of Q3 2020, the group held 3.52 billion Hong Kong dollars in cash and bank deposits, providing a good foundation to withstand the current period of economic uncertainty. On that note, I would like to pass back the time to Robin to talk about our future prospects, outlook, and the fourth quarter guidance.
Thank you, Patricia. In the longer term, we are confident of our position and our ability to continue innovating and developing advanced solutions in response to some critical long-term megatrends. In terms of data, a fundamental market growth driver will be the accelerating and widespread rollout of 5G infrastructure. This is a sustainable market growth driver, bringing massive possibilities into play for data creation, transmission, storage, and use. 5G base stations, for example, require between 8 to 16 times the number of power amplifiers from 4G base stations, driving future capacity buys. The upgrade cycle for 5G devices is just one example of how the device side demand for higher performance will power growth, with the greatly increased number of required components for 5G devices driving capacity buys. More and more devices beyond phones will come online as 5G capable over time, ready to be plugged into the ecosystem. Vastly improved 5G powered data speed and throughput will also lead to an ever increasing demand for HPC capabilities across many industries, along with the steady proliferation of AI and machine learning capabilities into every aspect of life. Across the 5G ecosystem, its components will also require more sophisticated packaging solutions that directly play into ASMPT capabilities in advanced packaging and system in package offerings. ASMPT has significant growth enablers that position us well to capture growth. For this, I have already talked a little bit about leading role in advanced packaging, but we have identified three more areas: mini and micro LED solutions, CMOS image sensor or CIS solutions, and silicon photonics. Let me briefly speak about this. First, advanced packaging. This market is expected to more than double its revenue from $39 billion US dollar in 2019 to $42 billion US dollar in 2025, as quoted by Yole Development this year. Advanced packaging is a key growth enabler for ASMPT, and we are well positioned to flourish here. Advanced packaging basically enables cost reduction and time to market while enhancing system performance. With reference to slide 24, you can see that a wide range of current and potential advanced packaging markets are enabled by ASMPT advanced packaging solutions, from the wearables, vehicles, data centers, and 5G equipment of today, to exciting emerging areas in AI, factory robotics, telemedicine, connected homes and autonomous vehicles, and evolving high-speed computing capabilities, just to name a few. With the broadest suite of advanced packaging solutions in the industry, ASMPT is either one of the leading players or is a strong contender in most of the advanced packaging subcategories. Putting it together, ASMPT is well positioned to capture the shift to 5G and other key trends and to grow across the entire spectrum of technology and capacity buy. This will in turn essentially translate into strong demand for a comprehensive range of advanced packaging solutions. Let me next touch on the next growth enabler, mini and micro LED. These are expected to generate healthy technology buy for us. The world is increasingly demanding better and sharper picture quality, especially with the ever-expanding innovation in smart wearables and display on devices, for example, car display, the rise of AR and VR, and the expanding possibility for television and mid-to-large-format LED display. To look at it in the tangible terms and to quantify the huge market potential, look at slide 25. Research firm LED Insight in the 2019 report stated that the mini LED market has a 35% compounded annual growth rate for medium to large display in the next 5 years, while micro LED market has a staggering CAGR for small gadget and transparent display. Micro LED has many advantages, enabling 30 times greater brightness than OLED in consumer devices such as smartwatches and 10 times higher resolution in virtual reality devices. We are already experiencing encouraging adoption of mini LED in the industry among some key players who are entering into mass incorporation of mini LED into their TVs. Other players are also experimenting with micro LED solutions. We are confident that this rapid adoption of mini and micro LED in consumer devices, larger displays and video walls will help drive a massive technology buy cycle. We have already secured key customers in Asia, and being a major player in the mini and micro LED packaging, we are well aligned to capture this significant market opportunity when it presents itself. Let me now speak briefly about our silicon photonics business. Data transmission speed and throughput requirements will continue to place increasing demands on packaging solutions. Our AMICRA unit high-precision die bonding solution to top-tier players has positioned us strongly in terms of silicon photonics capabilities. This technology requires sub-micron precision equipment and is poised to grow when 5G capabilities and cloud computing massively proliferate. We are engaged with major OEMs in these areas and are confident about capturing future opportunities in data center applications and industrial manufacturing to meet ever-increasing data transmission requirements. According to research firm Yole Development, the silicon photonics market will have a healthy CAGR of 46% from 2019 to 2025, which will benefit us. The past few years have seen a rapid transformation of technology and constant innovation, but we are just at the cusp of an era of massive connectivity, speed, and possibility in terms of LED. Now, for mini LED, at this point, the way we see it is it's just beginning, so it probably will take some time for it to reach a very substantial cycle. But as I mentioned earlier in a conference call opening remark, we are well positioned. We are engaging key customers in this particular area. So when this cycle, when this particular business takes off, I think we will be in a very good position to capture the growth. It is really hard to predict when the substantial growth cycle will come. So we just have to watch this space, carefully and. But looking at the mini LED, I think what is really driving this business at this point in time. Basically, we look at it. There are two areas. One is what we call a local dimming for gaming consoles and TVs. These are quite different, from the LED TV that we talk about. Because for LED TV, you're talking about only the peripherals are being populated with LED. But for local dimming, it's actually the entire screen at the back are populated by LEDs. And this means that there will be more LEDs required, compared to the backlight TVs that we were used to for many years. What is also driving the mini LED is also RGB video displays at this point in time. So these are the two applications we see, will take off for mini LED in the years to come.
Okay. Operator, can we have the next question, please?
Of course. Our next question comes from Kana Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first one actually is another follow-up question on those like margin trend, because looking into the booking in the third quarter, we see that semis and SMT is actually recovering. But in the semi side, we also see some recovery, especially uptake booking from the CIS. Could we expect that somehow the fourth quarter margin could also benefit on the CIS uptake, and generally because of the revenue that has trend to be increased and potentially the margin, there will be some improvement into the fourth quarter? If this is the right, direction, would you expect it? This is the first one, the first question.
Okay, so the first question, yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Should I ask the second question first?
One question by the time.
One question at a time, yeah.
Hi, Tina, this is Patricia. Let me answer your question regarding the gross margin. Yes, you are right. We do see some early signs of the improved demand in CIS. So this will definitely be reflected to our fourth quarter's gross margin. But the early sign of the improvement in CIS demand is mainly based on the low base in Q2 and Q3. So comparing with our strong demand in the conventional die bonder and wire bonder, I would say the overall volume from the CIS tools is still limited. Of course, it will help anyways. And the other thing is we will, in Q4, we will continue to streamline our inventory. We will keep some measures for better use our existing inventory, similar in Q3.
Okay, got you. Then the second question is about advanced packaging, because this year, I think the advanced packaging has been driving the growth, and what should we look at this opportunity into the 2021? Because I Robin addressed a lot of like AI, 5G, and smartphone, and so into the 2021. Because this year we already achieve a high base, and a lot of like growth also driven by the next. Like what kind of new, I mean, area we can also get into, like for example in the process of IP, or we see some market share gain into 2021 in certain customer, etc., or like on top of like the overall demand in the IP is actually growing.
Yeah, Kina, I think you probably know for industry we really can't see too far ahead. So, but I can give you a little bit of color as much as I can. Yeah. So, I think AP will be a key driver, not just for us, but I think for the whole industry. You know, for reasons I think you guys should understand. You know, because it's really a good alternative to, you know, to scaling at the front end. So and we being the, you know, the most providing the most comprehensive suite of solution, as you can see in our slide this time round. So you can see in our slide, our deck this time, we try to give you more color as to you know, how we are addressing the AP market. So we have a really good suite of solution to address the AP market. Now, having said that, I think one must remember, you know, the AP market is still a small base market, and it's reserved for, you know, for a few customers in this industry. You know, so not everyone can afford to go into AP kind of you know a business. So the customer base, if the customer base is small, it's quite natural. The volatility in terms of a business will be higher compared to the mainstream die and wire bonders because of the small customer base, and it's also a very niche area. So it's really difficult to give you how high this growth will be in 2021, but looking forward to a longer term, we are quite confident that this AP business will continue to grow, not just for us but also for the whole industry. Now, besides next, of course, this year and this year and last, we had the benefit of an additional business into our portfolio. I think next is plugged into a very nice a business, you know, with especially for the panel plating. You know, we are probably one of the leading players in terms of panel plating, or what we call deposition into high density substrate area. So if AP continue to grow, especially for heterogeneous integration, we believe this area, you know, will also follow suit. So for our AP, besides next, don't forget about TCB. You know, TCB is also an enabler for many of the AP application, especially for HI heterogeneous integration. Leonard?
Okay, yeah. Next question. I think, the next question, please. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes from Mr. Alpha Lai from Citigroup. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Robin and Patricia. We know that your presentation material style change to me is more educational, so I really appreciate. I have two questions. One is on the advanced packaging. Robin just mentioned that there is more heterogeneous packaging. So in this product line, how you think of your client base, distribute among the regions, such as you know, if you break down to Japan, Taiwan, or China, how much percentage they generate by the each region?
Okay, so Arthur, your first question is about the geographical distribution of our AP among Japan, China, etc.
Okay, thanks, Arthur. Looking at the AP customer base, if you look at our 9-month geographical mix, you will see Taiwan, you will see Korea increasing year on year quite strongly. So these two areas, I would say the main kicker, you know, over last year will be AP application market. So these are the areas plus, of course, the area in U.S., you know, U.S. will be also a key area for advanced packaging, China as well. So these are the geographical mix in terms of AP. Now, I forgot to answer one part of Kina's question. Maybe I take this opportunity to answer her. She said, what else is coming in our AP solution? So if you can see, the slide on our AP portfolio, we are also developing the next generation of interconnect technology called the hybrid bonding. So it's progressing well. We are engaging key customers in this particular area. So we believe we are able to, you know, develop a system, you know, for very low volume kind of manufacturing. In by the year 2021. So this is an exciting technology. So it's one up in terms of placement accuracy and also cost performance for the future. But of course, this is still a very nascent technology. It will still take some years for this hybrid bonding technology, in opinion, to mature. So meanwhile, the other more AP solutions, like for example flip chip, TCB, this will still prevail for a period of time, you know, before you know, hybrid bonding will start to show some meaningful, you know, meaningful demand in the years to come.
Yeah, thank you. And my second question is on the margin side. Patricia just told us that because of the utilization, because of the niche, so there's a margin decline in the quarter three. And if you looking forward, if we think of quarter four, the utilization should go up, and also the CIS you guide in the presentation, CIS have some positive signs. Shall we expect the better gross margin in a QOQ or YOY basis?
Thank you, Arthur. Very good question. Let me remind you that as Robin guided the top line for Q4, the fourth quarter's revenue would be around the same level as third quarter. The top line should will lead the margin, and you can tell within a quarter we should not expect a huge difference. And we do see a strong demand in the mainstream wire bonders and the die bonders from the IC discrete and opto business units. Although we indeed reserved the early signs of the improved CIS, automotive and industrial market demands, the contribution or the increase from this relatively soft segment comparing with the mainstream wire bonders and die bonders, I would say the volume or contribution is still limited. So it's fair to say we will get a higher margin from the market demand of these three segments. However, overall, the volume is still much less comparing with the mainstream products. And in terms of the capacity utilization, as I mentioned earlier, we try to optimize our cash flow and expedite our current inventory. So we will try to consume the existing inventory rather than using a lot more capacity to prepare more inventory. So I don't know whether I answered your question.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Can I ask
Sorry, Alpha. We have to move to the next question. Come from Laura Chen from KGI. Thank you.
Hello. Hi. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, Laura.
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is about SMT business. Do we expect another SMT upgrade cycle driven by 5G? Or is this actually happening right now, or that would be more gradually? Because back in the year 2017 and 2018, we see the trend of the substrate-like PCB type of design for smartphone. So back then, we see the strong growth and revenue contribution from SMT business. But since then, the SMT business had picked out. So do we see any time that our SMT business came back to, say, like 2017 or 18 level anytime soon? That's my first question.
Sure. Laura, so you're asking about the whether or not we expect another major upgrade cycle
right.
for the smartphone due to 5G, right?
Yes.
And how would this compare with 2017 when there was a big smartphone upgrade cycle?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, let me answer the question. Thank you for the question. Now, in fact, the smartphone upgrade cycle has been going on already. So, but however, if you look at the, you know, the overall shipment for smartphone this year, according to IDC, you know, they predict that the, you know, the smartphone volume will come down by close to say 10%. So, I think with this kind of backdrop, we believe that the quantum of the investment this year, you know, should be smaller than the previous cycle. So don't expect, you know, this investment cycle to be as big as the previous cycle. As we mentioned earlier, indeed our SMT, one of the drivers for SMT in the first 9 months of this year, besides 5G infrastructure build-up, it's also 5G related devices like smartphones underpinning, you know, the performance of our SMT this year.
Okay, thank you. And also, just want to follow up on the advanced packaging. Could you just remind us again how big is the advanced packaging revenue contribution for the overall company as a whole, and also what kind of the application or product we will see the strongest growth for the next few quarter or next year? Thanks.
Unfortunately, we don't disclose the hard number. I think this is really for competition reason. So but we did give some color. Our AP revenue for the semiconductor solution for the first 9 months are very close to the whole of 2019 already. So I hope this will give you a sense of, you know, the growth pattern of our advanced packaging solution for the semiconductor solution. Now, where does it go to? Well, I would say, I think the 5G, you know, will be really the underlying driver, you know, not just for AP, but also for the mainstream solutions. 5G will drive, you know, HPC itself. So HPC will be driver for advanced packaging, the way we look at it. Now, SMT also, see increased demand for our SIP solutions. Now, SIP, to a certain extent, can also be considered as AP, although SIP are more used, what SIP will go into more of the wearables, like, for example, smartwatches, AirPods, in those devices. So if you look at advanced packaging, there are two areas. One is HPC, and the other is SIP. So both these areas are benefiting our semiconductor solution as well as our SMT solution segment this year. And we believe this trend will continue. As I said earlier, AP is, in our opinion, a multi-year growth driver.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Next questions, please.
We have another following question come from Mr. Donnie Tan from Nomura. Thank you.
Thank you, management. I have two follow-ups. So first one is the question I just raised. I just wondering, besides our next business, what else of our businesses or equipment leverage U.S. technology or patents heavily? This is my first follow-up.
Okay. Yeah, let's deal with your first question first.
Yeah, okay. You're right. NEXT is based out of U.S., whereas the other businesses that we have are non-U.S. Based. So to answer your question, we are fully compliant, with all the export and the import regulations imposed by the various countries that we operate in. And I think going forward, I don't think there's any a change in this particular area. Yeah, so we are fully compliant.
Okay, thank you. My second follow-up is on the booking trend. So you mentioned that we don't give out specific guidance on bookings and gross margin into the coming quarters. However, this year you also mentioned about that third quarter is like anti-cycle, right? Originally, third quarter booking should be lower than second quarter, but this year is totally different. So I'm just curious whether there is a chance that booking will continue to trend up into fourth quarter.
Yes. There is a chance, provided the momentum continues. So we are still early in the fourth quarter, so we have to wait for a while to see whether this booking momentum, which started for the IC subunit under the semiconductor solutions, we started to see a surge in booking, sometime in September. So we have to wait and see whether this momentum will continue into the rest of Q4. So it's still too early to answer that question.
I see. Then maybe I rephrase my question. If the momentum continues in November and December as October, then probably we can expect the fourth quarter overall booking momentum should be better than third quarter. Is that a fair comment?
As I said earlier, September was a very good momentum. So I can't really comment that. We really have to see. Yeah.
Thank you, Donnie. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. We have another following question come from Mr. Afalai. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you. I only ask a very simple question. So in our presentation, we highlight that the CIS, we see a better booking of the low base. I wonder, is this booking a technology buy or a capacity buy? So which means it's a more advanced CIS, or it's conventional, or it's for sensor or for the AA. Can you give us more color? Thank you.
after you, how do I answer you now? Let's put it that way. We are supplying a whole range of equipment, including AA equipment. So when customers buy equipment from us, they tend to buy an inline solution. You know, so I can't give you too much specific at this point in time. So far, it's encouraging. We see a booking uptick, as we mentioned earlier, in Q3. Hopefully, you know, this can continue and translate into billings in the quarter to come.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Alpha. Our next question comes from Mr. Chris Yin from BOCOM. Thank you.
Oh, hi, good morning. Just a couple of quick questions for me. I guess the booking may be too early to say, but on the billings, 4Q, you talk about CIS, maybe some recovery, out of industrial, some recovery. Can we get a little bit more color on Q4 billings in the other applications, maybe the advanced packaging, mini LED? How are they trending in terms of quarter four billing? Thanks.
Okay. As I said earlier, you know, Q3 booking was strong for the semiconductor solution. This has to really back up by mainstream business, you know, the die and the wire bonders, because these are what we call at this point in time, you know, really the capacity buy. You know, so we need customers who are confident, you know, to load equipment for capacity. And in order to see the kind of volume. So as my colleague Patricia has alluded earlier, so the mainstream die and wire bonders business will continue to do well, you know, for Q4. So CIS advanced packaging, CIS, of course, it still depend on the demand for the smartphone launches. Huh? So bookings should translate into billings in the next quarter. For AP, I mentioned earlier, because of the small customer base, you know, not just for us but for the whole industry, you know, it can be lumpy from quarter to quarter. That's why we do not want to give you color on our AP mix on a quarter to quarter basis, because it's not reasonable, you know, to discern any kind of trend from that. So on a longer period, like 9 months, you know, it's a better way. 9 months, 1 year is a better way to discern the trend for AP. And for mini LED, I think you also asked for mini LED. As I said earlier, we see encouraging signs. I think second half mini LED demand starting to pick up. I think the first half probably is impacted by the COVID-19 situation. So in COVID-19 situation, we still have to monitor. You know, with the second or third wave of infection that's happening around the world, we cannot lose sight of this particular event or situation.
Hi, can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
Just a quick follow-up on the policy of giving all booking guidance. From Q2 we start giving booking guidance. Is it because of limited visibility because of the whole global situation, or is it a change, more longer-term change in how you are providing outlook?
Yes, I would tend to say it's a longer term change, because we will only give billing guidance going forward. When we compare our industry peers, we also notice that most of our peers only give billing guidance. So most of them also do not give bookings or gross margin guidance.
Okay, operator, the next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Frank Lee from HSBC. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thank you. I just wanted to ask, two questions. One is, you sorry to keep talking about bookings, but you did talk about the bookings started to see a bit pick up in September. But if I look at the full quarter bookings, it still looks like SMT is stronger compared to semi solutions. But the pickup that you're talking about, is it more semi-specific starting in September?
Yes, it's more because the question was more on the semi side, so I replied. Yeah. Response was on the semi side, yes.
So on a relative basis, you know, the incremental strength you're seeing in booking, would it be fair to say it's mostly on the semi side? I mean, SMT is expected to be up anyway, so the incremental strength in booking that bucked the trend, was it mainly because of the semi side?
No. As we mentioned earlier, for Q3 bookings, both bucked the trend. So typically, Q3 for booking for semi and SMT tend to be lower than Q2. You know, but this time round is different. So it's encouraging. So SMT has been kind of a lagging, you know, behind the semi. You know, but now with the strong Q3 bookings, things seem to be looking out. As we always mention, as a guide, you know, the way we read the entire supply chain is that semi, if there's anything, semi recovers first, and maybe a quarter or slightly above a quarter, and then SMT will start to recover. That's just how the whole ecosystem works, actually.
Okay. And this time around, it's similar, or are we seeing basically a similar timing of recovery?
We think so. I don't think there's anything to disrupt that kind of a trend at this point in time.
Okay, sorry. And then, sorry, my last question is, you talked earlier in the call about the strength of the base station and, you know, as a driver of this year's outlook. But in the last couple of months, there seems to be some signs that the base station momentum is slowing, especially out of China. Are we seeing, is that a potential risk you could see in the horizon?
Let's don't try to discern from quarter to quarter. We believe this 5G infrastructure rollout will be a multi-year growth driver. Not just China is strong, China is starting, you know, they are ahead in this particular area, but this infrastructure rollout will happen in all countries in time to come. So we believe this is a multi-year mega trend.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Sebastian Ho from CLSA. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions on the advanced packaging side. First is that, curious about your view, are you seeing any differences or rising technology challenges if your advanced packaging customer mix are changing more from typical OSAT to advanced foundries? And also, at the same time, when the bond pitch shrinkage is accelerating.
Nanda, can you repeat? Because it's not very clear.
So your question is about the whether or not we see any rising technology challenges as we see OSATs going moving as we see the demand coming from the switching from the OSATs to the foundries. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I can speak in general terms. I think AP is still a developing a technology. So in our terminology, we tend to view AP as one that has no really standard across the whole industry. So different customers have different way of using AP, you know, to package their devices. So I think what's more important in our opinion as a equipment supplier, you know, is to be at the forefront of all this technology. That's one. And working very closely in close collaboration with our customers, you know, because then we will, you know, develop new technology together with our key customers going forward. And that's how we have been so successful, you know, in our TCB business. You know, we have anchor customers, you know, we develop, you know, these solutions together. So we believe this is a winning formula, and we are doing exactly that for AP packaging solutions going forward.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, I'm curious about how expandable of the do you have, if I get it right, it seems to have quite dedicated or quite concentrated in one key U.S. customers. So I'm curious about how do you see that can leverage that technology to penetrate into the other advanced packaging customers?
Sure. Now, for next, we basically have two solutions. What we want is what we call the PVD, physical vapor deposition solution, and the other one is what we call the electrochemical deposition, so ECD. So, yes, right now, for the panel plating, which is under the ECD, that's driving the growth of NEXX. But NEXX has been around for many years. They've been serving customers in the PVD and the ECD for wafer level kind of a solution. So we believe, NEXX is also pretty well positioned, you know, to take advantage of the AP growth in years to come. It's just that for the last 2 years, plating has taken off in a big way, you know, because of the high density substrate RDL requirement, you know, and first level interconnect requirement. That's why, the mix for NEXX for the last 2 years has been more towards the panel plating solution.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Lee, there seems to be no further question at this point in time.
Okay, well, let's poll one more time, and then it's already 9:42.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any question, please press star 1 on your telephone touchpad. Thank you. We have another following question come from Sebastian. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions again. Just one follow-up that I think you probably already see that. I think the TSMC is promoting its 3D fabric solutions. So I'm curious about the opportunity for ASMPT. I think what kind of the tools we can offer and how are we going to address that rising business opportunity. And in particular, I think that Robin, you mentioned about the next technology of hybrid bonding that is under development right now. I think that's required for the future of these wafer-to-wafer or die-to-wafer, the kind of technologies. So it's good to see that the company also have that product offering down the road. I'm curious about how do you evaluate the current development maturity of your technology compared to your competitors.
Okay, Sam, you talk. Yeah, go ahead. Robin, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Dana. It's clear. I can hear him clearly. So thanks for the question. I think first and foremost, you're aware, you know, that we really cannot comment on specific customer engagement. I can give you some color. As we said earlier, you know, we are, you know, the most comprehensive, providing the most comprehensive suite of AP solutions. And we believe, you know, we are one of those leading, you know, in those areas. So certainly, as more customers, as we see more customers entering into the advanced packaging space, I think that will benefit the whole industry. I think being a premier interconnect company, you know, so we will stand also to benefit. So there are a few areas typically for heterogeneous integration. You know, so if you're talking about heterogeneous integration, tools like, for example, plating tools for RDL, for bumping, you know, for copper pillar. So that that space is played by NEXX. And then for die-to-die bonding, whether it's stack die or whether it's, we put die as close as possible onto a kind of substrate, you know, a logic die and a memory die side-by-side or stack die, TCB, because of its superior performance compared to, say, flip chip, for example. So that is also an area that we can stand to benefit. So as far as heterogeneous integration is concerned, we have a few key solutions. So NEXX is one, TCB, And if customers sometimes prefer mass reflow instead of TC because of cost performance reason, we also have our Nucleus solution, very high precision pick and place tool, you know, also for heterogeneous integration. So these are the tools typically are employed by clients or customers using HI or heterogeneous integration.
Great. How about the hybrid bonding development versus your competitors?
Yes, as I said earlier, we are in the process of developing a hybrid bonder. We are engaging some key customers in this particular space, and we think that we should have a model ready by year 2021.
Great. Thank you.
Operator, any further questions from the floor?
Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any question, please press star one. Thank you. No question at the moment, sir.
Okay. Yeah, in that case, let us conclude the conference call then. And thank you very much for joining us today. And we'll talk to you again next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes your conference. Thank you.